Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just before this episode starts, I thought I'd just give you a heads up about the Christmas show that is happening December 15 at the Catfish. Tickets are on sale and they're already close to selling out, so get in early. So this is at the Catfish, December 15, 3 o'clock, so it's a Saturday afternoon. And all the money that is being raised is going to the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. So we did this last year, raised a good bunch of money, I think $2,500 for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. And it's a great organisation because, you know, this show is about people sharing stories. And so I thought, you know, why not go into some communities who don't get the opportunity to have, a good range of stories for them to share. So that is why I've chosen that one. Also, it makes you feel good. You know, you do a podcast, you want to give back. It's good. So go to joshearl.com.au/gigs. Tickets are there. They're $25 a ticket. I know it's a bit more than the normal price, but it's for a good cause. Everyone's donating their time. So if you're in Melbourne, December 15, come along. So we'll do it the same we did last year. Six people on stage at once. It's always fun. Goes for a little bit longer, but it's worth it. And then we're going to have a drink afterwards. Hurrah. I think that's all I need to say. Thanks everyone who's been downloading it, sharing it, rating it on iTunes, and subscribing to the Patreon. You'll get a new episode out maybe over the weekend, I think it'll be. Hopefully, I was going to put it out tomorrow, but life has got in the way. I've done my back, people. It's shit. Anyway, enjoy this episode with Damien Callinan, Terry Siarkis, Michelle Brazier, and Michael Schaefer. It's a good one. Bye. I am the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a man that is hiring for a new maintenance engineer with his company in the UK, paying £38,000 a year. So if you're interested, apply to joshearl@invictusgroup.co.uk. Joel could be yours. He only put up yesterday. I don't know what a maintenance engineer is. I don't really know what an engineer is, but that's all right. We'll figure out. It's bridges, I think. Our first guest shares his name with an Irish traffic officer, but the one we have here is comedian, actor, and creator of the merger. It is Damien Callinan. Yay!
Oh, thanks very much. I'll just be outside.
Oh, it is the one.
No, I have. I'm sorry, I'm late. There was a roundabout outside.
I booked it wrong.
The traffic cones were at an out of place. I fixed it up.
He also shares his name with a Croatian traffic officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you come back at boys? You can't speak English.
Yeah. Our next guest is a first timer to the podcast. She's a comedian, a broadcaster, and a writer who shares her name with no one on the internet.
No.
Can you welcome the one and only? It's Terry Siarkis.
Yes.
Wow.
That's kind of stuffed you up a bit. I'm apologetic about that.
Make up another Terry Siarkis.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, that's the reason why I didn't change my name when I got married. It had nothing to do with professional reasons. It was like, this name is dying out with me. This is it. This is why I can't change my surname when I get married.
Yeah, and she married a guy called Jeff Towling.
Yeah.
And that was never going to work.
Also joining us is a comedian, an actor, and a singer who shares her name with the practice manager at Beth Israel Deaconess Healthcare in Boston. Can you please welcome Michelle Brazier? Yay!
Hi! Actually, they're both me.
That's you as well?
Yeah. It's my day job, I commute.
Thanks for making the drive over then.
That's okay. Boston's not that far.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give away where we record this.
We're in Texas.
Yeah.
In Texas.
In Texas.
Can you do accents too?
Yeah. It's me from Texas. See, I went to VCA, so that's for free.
That was your NIDA monologue, wasn't it?
Yeah. Didn't get in.
And finally, is another first timer to the podcast. He shares his name with a UK automation engineer which I think is just a fancy name for mechanic, and a Chicago sales manager for a marine propulsion organization. Mm. Jet skis, I reckon. That's all it is. Can you please welcome to the podcast, it's Michael Schaefer.
Yay! Yay!
That's very... I didn't know. How did you find that out? On Facebook?
LinkedIn is my friend when it comes to people's names and jobs.
That's fascinating. And it's exactly the same spelling because my Schaefer is a weird spelling of Schaefer.
It's not like Paul Schaefer.
Yes.
It's like...
Shafar.
Shafar,
it's in my Return of Jafar.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of people when you're doing gigs mispronounce your name before they...
Yeah, in fact, I did a spleen on Monday and Gordon Southern was the MC and we hadn't met before and he introduced me as Michael Shafir, which is a good effort because it's definitely Shafar at the worst.
Yeah.
And then at the end I said, thanks for having me, I'll be Michael Schaefer. And then he gets back on stage and goes, give it up again for Michael Shafir, everyone.
Oh, no.
So not listening, Gordon.
So, no, he really committed to... his interpretation.
Because last time Michelle was on the podcast, I mispronounced her surname.
There's so many ways to pronounce. You can mispronounce my surname and be also pronouncing it correctly.
What's your favourite way?
My favourite way is Michelle That's my favourite.
That's the traditional.
That's the preferred.
I'm going to say different every time I say you for the rest of my life.
That's the traditional.
So the zir is silent in that pronunciation.
Yeah. It's mostly the emphasis is really hit. And that's a high C.
All right. Our first game tonight is called Social Media. Well, I'll read out statuses by the four of you. And you have to buzz in your names or your buzzers and tell me who you think wrote the tweet or the Facebook update. Okay? You can't guess for your own ones. So poker faces on. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote the tweet if you're wrong.
Okay. Is the buzzer at our names?
Your names.
Okay. Can I just say a word? No. Yeah. I have to say my name.
Well,
okay.
What
you
word?
Have to say it the way you just said
okay.
it.
Okay.
You have
to say
the whole name.
Okay. All right. Great.
If I can't pronounce my own surname, is that going to be a problem? Full names, first names.
Should have changed only it to Towling.
Yeah, just say Towling.
Only for MCs in the early 2000s, that was going to be a problem.
Such
a
just
problem.
Say Shafir
you would have had
for me.
You would have had it as well. Even though
I didn't want
Siarkis is quite...
So because it starts with a P and the P is silent, people lose their minds. So I've had Pisarkis, Sakakis, you name it, I've had it.
I find Greek surnames is the easiest of all the names that
do
I might struggle with.
Closet Wog.
I'm not sure if it is. Because I struggle with my speech, so it's THs that I struggle with. If someone's got extra THs in their name, I'm no good.
Yeah.
I just say their first name really loudly and hope the audience are clapping enough that I can just kind of mumble my way through the rest of it.
There you go.
Okay, first question is this one. When I grow up, I want to be a jolly tram driver that overuses the PA to talk about the weather. Who wrote that?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Michael Shafir said that.
No, it wasn't. It was Michelle Brazier.
Is it?
Michelle.
Is that true?
Yeah, really there was this really great tram driver and he was just so joyful. I was in a terrible mood and he was just like, attention, everybody. It's a beautiful day, so make sure you look up from your phones and say hello to each other. And I was like,
I feel like if I was in that mood and that came over the loudspeaker, I'd be like, oh, who is this dickhead?
Yeah. Exactly.
Particularly it was like one of those really shitty tannoys on the tram. So like, just too loud.
I'm a real easy turnaround.
Well, there used to be the guy who drove the 86 up and down. And every time you'd go past High Street, he'd do a whole High Street. That was his only one.
Every time.
It was his little joke to himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost worth moving to High Street just to hear that joke.
Yeah.
It's like a dad joke, but a tram joke.
Yeah.
I want to hear a tram driver that just sighs before every stop. Gilbert Rose.
You don't want to hear that from a pilot, though. You only want your pilot to be chirpy, don't
here
you?
We go. Here we go. 10,000 feet. Something.
I was on a flight once and we landed and the staff member goes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to... the airport.
Oh, that's so good.
She wasn't wrong, though.
Next question. My partner has been listening to a lot of true crime podcasts and casually said to me, people could get away with murder pretty easily if they were smarter. So if I go missing, please use this tweet as evidence.
Terry.
Yes, Terry.
Michael?
You are correct, yes. A point there for Terry, yes.
You spotted my girl. We just met, but you already know my girlfriend is a potential serial killer.
Wow. What true crime?
She's into everything. She watches like Serial and, you know, just those shows where it's just like a young girl gets murdered. She's just on board. She is like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then she knows how to get away with murder. And she's just has so much contempt for murderers who get caught.
It's so good to see a woman upskilling. That's the thing. Yeah. Just get more skills. So many trope.
Well, she's a lawyer and she wants to develop into a serial killer, you know? So it's a natural career progression.
Well, I think it's like the most popular genre
in
the country.
There's so many to choose from. I've decided to limit, like, just create some boundaries. Like, okay, I'm only going to listen to ones where the Catholic Church is involved, which is 88% of it. So it didn't quite work out for me.
I've got a friend who listens to true crime podcasts as she's going to sleep. And there's two things about that don't work for me. One is, well, if you're going to sleep, then you're not hearing the end of the episode, so you got to go back the next day and find out where you listened up to. But also, just the most disturbing thing to listen to before you start dreaming and your subconscious starts taking over what you're thinking about.
I know, I couldn't do it. The other night, I had a dream that I was trying to walk up an escalator and everyone was pushing me back down the escalator.
Oh.
And then I woke up and my 7-year-old had crawled into bed and was trying to push me out of my own bed. Oh. So that's what it was. So if I listen to true crime stuff, I don't know what I'd be doing. No. Like,
soiling yourself.
Yeah. Well, that as well. Okay, next question. Seriously, this government, get in the bin.
David Moe.
Yes, Damien.
Michelle.
No, that was Terry. A point there for Terry.
Yay.
What was that in response to, Terry? Was that the leadership still?
Take your pick.
Yeah.
any day of the week, take your pick.
Wasn't that long ago either.
You just have that on. You just have that copy and paste.
Well,
drafts.
Pretty much.
If it was, okay. If the Greens get in, they'll have to go in the recycling bin.
Question 4. Hi, my dog ate another shoe.
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Michelle.
You are correct.
It had.
Why was that so easy, Michael?
Well, we were discussing beforehand about Michelle's dog behaviours, and it just felt like it was on brand for the dog.
Well, I think she said just before the show started, my dog's eaten three shoes.
Well, two shoes and one mystery leather object that he vomited up and we haven't found where it came from. So we assume a shoe, something else.
A belt.
I believe there's an Instagram story of me pretending to be your dog eating the oil.
There is.
Fighting around on Redown's account.
Yeah, Redown's good. It's very good.
The human version of Bruce in action.
Question 5. I love the mindset of people who wrap their luggage in plastic at the airport. If it could happen to Al Chappelle, it could happen to anyone.
Terry.
Yes, Terry.
Damo.
No, that's Michael Schaefer. Oh. Yeah. I do love that as
That's a good tweet, Al Chappelle.
I was happy with that tweet because I just don't understand the people. There was only two people doing it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, no one's... If I was a baggage handler, I would put drugs in that suitcase.
Yeah, unwrap the Glad wrap.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Just to prove a point. Just to be like, well, you're not... This isn't doing anything.
When the Chappelle Corby case kind of first came to light, did you think she was innocent?
Yes, but I was also 11.
Just beyond the age of reason.
I feel like my opinion, and I grew out of that opinion very quickly. I think by the age of 12, I was like, oh, she did it. Yeah.
You have to wrap. So if you're going to get away with that and you really want to make sure it's secure, you have to wrap it in each layer of plastic and cling wrap that you go around. You have to whisper a secret in each layer, and then only you know the secrets, and if the secrets get out, then you know the drugs have been planted, and that's how you prove to the police that it wasn't actually you.
Gotcha. You like whisper your mother's maiden name or something.
Yeah, your mother's maiden name, the name of your first street.
Yeah.
Your dog's first name, you know that stuff.
I completely approve of the practice of wrapping children between 18 months and 5 in Glad wrap.
Same.
Maybe you puncture a hole, but just nowhere near their mouth.
No, don't bother.
Don't you just give them Valium? Just give the kid...
Phenergan.
That's what you meant to do, right?
Valium for kids.
You got to road test it before the flight because some kids go the other way with Phenergan. So some kids ramp up with Phenergan. Yeah. So you don't want that to be the first time you're giving it to them on the plane.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
just too complex, Michael, isn't it?
Question 6. There are two types of people in this world. There are those that run along next to the riders in the Tour de France, and there are good people. Who wrote that?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Damo.
You are correct. Yes, another point there for Michael. Yes.
Have you ever been to the Tour de France?
No, because I'm not a good person. I'm scared I'd knock someone off their bike. I'm a bad person, but I've got restraint.
You're standing there.
I've been
to
the Tour Down Under. Yeah. Same thing.
All these things, I'm not sure how good they are at the event because you're just seeing bikes go past you really fast and that's
You're just stuck in traffic too. Yeah. You're just stuck behind camper vans.
Yeah.
And
and the people who run next to bikes.
On TV, I get it because you're following the race. But then you're standing in a corner, yeah. And if it's not a corner where they crash, it's just boring.
Dad used to have fun. Like, we bought him the devil costume for Christmas one year, and we didn't think he was going to use it. And he went to 27 Tour de France in a row. But we never saw him again.
How long does the Tour de France go for?
17 years each one. 17 years. I think it's 25 stages. With yeah, I think it's the a three rush days.
Yeah, three rush days. So yeah. Imagine going to the Tour de France and you see literally 30 seconds of a month long event.
Yeah, every day you see like at most 2 minutes.
Especially like going to an AFL match and you just walked in for 5 seconds and then left. That would be the equivalent.
But you might be there like when a domestique throws a half-eaten energy bar in your direction and you finish it. Like there's like it's a rule, go roulette.
Also, I'm looking forward to the listeners because, you know, cyclists are pretty calm about people bagging out their sport, totally. So it should be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I always wonder the people that go, are they there for the cycling or are they there for the chance that there will be a massive prang or that some random animal will run onto that? That's what you're there for, isn't it, really?
It's what the sport is.
Yeah,
but totally. Most sports would be improved with a random animal just on the pitch.
Well, oh, you know, 100%. Absolutely. We all remember the pig at the footy.
Plugger.
Tiny locker.
Yep. Next question. Question 7. No, 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 and no. And then a link to an article about matching family Christmas pyjamas.
Damo. Michael.
I heard Damo first, yes.
Terry.
You are correct. Yes. Just point there for Terry.
You need to stop reacting, Terry.
Well, how many no's were there? Five?
There were five no's.
Five family members. It was a no for each of them. Under no circumstances were any of them okay.
So the Siakas clan, they're not getting into the matching jumpers?
Why do people do that? Why?
I love that. I want to get matching pyjamas for me and Bruce.
Bruce is your dog, right?
Yeah. And Tim can have some too, my partner, sure. But it's mainly about Bruce and I.
Question 8. Murder and saying schnitzel should be considered equally heinous crimes.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
The microchef.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Michelle. Yes.
I've always hated that.
Schnitzel.
Oh, don't please. Don't.
Schnitzel. So without the schn.
Offends me. Just because like my people have been eating that food for, you know, centuries.
Yeah.
It's not a new food. Just fucking get the. You can say schnitzel. Yeah. Anyway,
is it to do with the fact that your name doesn't have that sound and everyone else?
Like saying, Michael Safir is here.
Michael Safer.
Schnitzel. What about schnitter?
I don't mind as long as you get the schnitz. Do you know, this is interesting. I did when I was like 12, right? I was in a school
year
spelling
after,
competition.
Year after Corby went down.
As you would hate people saying, so Chappelle.
So the year after Schnappel went down. So I was in this school spelling competition. I actually am a bit of a hypocrite here because I got through and won my school spelling competition because when my competitor went to spell schnitzel, it was pronounced to him schnitzel. And he actually, and therefore he spelled it incorrectly. And then I won the competition.
Surely he can go, hang on, you said it wrong.
Well, yes, but, you know, the glory went to me at the time.
And he pulled a swish army knife on you.
I've said this on the podcast before, but I'll say it again. Like, my year 9 teacher was so angry at our spelling. He said, every lesson we're going to have spelling tests. And he had a very thick English accent. And he said, the first word, air. And someone said, can you put that in a sentence for us? He said, sure. I'm asking you to spell air. Air. What an asshole. And we all got it wrong because we thought he meant A-I-R. But he was actually saying the letter A. All of us got it wrong. And instead of him going, I've actually mispronounced that and they don't know what I'm talking about, he marked us all wrong and then blasted us for not being able to say or spell the letter A.
What a maniac. So at uni in third year, we had this director who'd come in and she was very, very full on. And we had this big group piece that was a cappella. It was the most musical theatre you've possibly ever seen. It was so lame. And it was just this group thing that started with ba 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 and just very excited faces and huge crescendos. And she went up to my friend and she was like, Vince, say ba. And he was like, ba. And she's like, no. And he was like, bah, like with gusto. She was like, no, Vince, bah, look at yourself, and just made him look in the mirror and say bah for like 10 minutes and just was not, would never be satisfied. He developed an eye twitch. He's fine now. But it was horrendous. It was so bad. Anyway, I do comedy now.
Question 9. We've been packing up the apartment for 2 hours. When we started, everything was labelled by room, fragility and contents. Now every box just says misc. Tomorrow the boxes will say help.
Damo.
Yes, Damo.
Michelle Brady.
You are correct. Yes, put there for Damien. Yes. You only
did I say that right?
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
You did great. Yeah. I did just move. Yes. Damo was at my housewarming. There were plenty of drinks and my dog licked up some oil.
There was a very good comment.
You
needn't
have unpacked all of that stuff. You broke most of it.
There was a good comment underneath this by Demi Lardner just saying, just label everything box. And our final question for the round. Every guy in Byron Bay looks like he played Wonderwall around a campfire 24 hours ago.
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
Terry.
No, that was Michael Schaefer. Another point there for Michael. Yeah,
I read that.
Thank you.
I liked that. I read that. I remember it.
Did you like
head.
It?
It wasn't long ago, was it?
Was it, it was a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I went to Byron. And yeah, that's how all the men look.
Yeah. That's one of those places.
Yeah.
Big shout out to my Byron Bay listeners who have remixed this with an Xavier Rudd track. Okay. At the end of the round, the scores are Damien on 2 points, Michelle on 2 points, Terry on 2 points, in the lead on 4 points. It's Michael Schaefer. Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
This round is called Holiday. It would be so great. Now, we've all had holidays, some good, some not so good. And in this round, we go back and talk about those experiences that have stayed with us. And today we're talking about a younger Damien Callinan and a trip he took to Frankfurt that he just cannot forget. But why? Was it A, he accidentally shat himself in the botanical gardens and then didn't know the way back to the hotel because he wiped his ass with the map he had? It's that kind of show, Terry.
Yeah, you wiped your ass with an iPhone?
Totally on my level.
B, he got knocked out after he and his mates were doing some aggressive slam dancing near an oompa band. And the tuba player decided that Damien was a little bit too close for his own comfort. Or was it C, he got kicked out of a cathedral because he was wearing thongs. Damien tried to make the very convincing argument that Jesus wore sandals. So if Jesus came back today, would you kick him out too? As he was making this argument, a security guard came up behind Damien, threw him down the stairs, breaking his thong, and he rolled his ankle. A, B, or C. You can ask him as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Who was with you on this holiday?
I was away with my ex-wife. Thanks for bringing it up.
we weren't Why'd married. You break up?
all three of these stories. It's a fairly clear-cut case in the family court several months later. And our two close friends, Pete and Anne-Marie.
Right.
That's what made Frankfurt so big, in that we'd been in Japan for 6 months teaching English and to raise money basically for our European adventure. And then we flew into Frankfurt of all places. Like, wow. Like, if you like banks, sure. Yeah. But Frankfurt didn't do so well during the war. So it just kind of looks like Perth. German Perth.
You were with Pete and Anne-Marie.
Yep, and Kath.
And Kath. And
we're all mates now, it's fine.
Yeah, and what are their phone numbers? Just so I can verify the...
Sure.
How long did it take for your foot to heal if you rolled your ankle?
It was just a minor roll. I actually didn't realise. It kind of bruised up the next day. As we were walking out and we got tripped, I rolled and I kind of over-rolled. You know, you kind of go, oh, shit, I better kind of like do the body roll thing in case I get injured. But it was there was a really gradual gradient of steps. So I just kept kind of like dropping down to the next one for too long. And by the time I looked up, and this is the early 90s, so even then everyone had kind of like video
camcorders,
yeah. But they were pretty massive. I looked up and literally I'm now in about 85 different family holidays. every camera had turned to the guy with one thong at the bottom of the 92 steps.
Okay.
I have a question just regarding the map.
Yeah. Okay.
So my first question is, well, what induced you to have to poo so unexpectedly?
I've been in Japan for 6 months, but I stopped off in Bangkok for 4 days. And having been in Asia for 7 months, I'd had no incidents at all. And after we'd seen the banks and the four remaining historic buildings in Frankfurt, we decided to go to it's a beautiful garden they call the Palm Garden. And we kind of got almost into the middle of it, and it was literally just like I was like, oh, it feels a bit weird. And I thought I farted and completely followed through with some hideous, viscous, hot thing. And we were nowhere near any toilets. And I kind of, the first thing I thought was, okay, I took a few, after about 100 metres, I went, no, there's a fair bit in there. And
Is that the worst thing to hit Frankfurt since the war?
Absolutely. So we couldn't find any toilets. And I told Pete. Pete and I were heaps ahead in front of the girls. So I just said things that good. And I just went behind the trees to kind of like look, and it was pretty disgusting. And the only bit of paper I had was map of Frankfurt. And I had to do some, otherwise I was literally going to have shit running down my leg. So I tied it up with the map for a bit, and then we couldn't find a toilet or our way home.
It's like the first ever TripAdvisor review.
Absolutely.
Pinned it to
By the time I actually got home to the pension, it was about 3Ks. Because eventually we had to tell the girls, because they were going, why is he walking like that? The fecal burning was like nothing I've ever just... I was walking with my legs at like in the splits by the time I got back to the hotel.
Can I just highlight the phrase fecal burning?
Yeah.
Because that's probably going to stay with me for life. Thank you, Damo.
It should do.
Okay, so there's that story, the rolled your ankle, and what was the third story?
Got hit in the head with a tuba by slam dancing near an oompa band.
You are a big dancer.
Mm. What's slam dancing?
Yeah. It goes on very names. It's when the crowd just kind of moves and just dance into each other. Ah. The original version in Australia was docking at painters and dockers concerts. People would just run and jump into each other. And
oh yes, I've
but
seen
the gay like community metal. Took that over.
Yeah, totally.
Docking. They did docking. Take
very less aggressive.
Well, let me just Google that.
So Frankfurt has Germany's shittest beer festival, and that's where we ended up. It was the night after, but the burns were still raw.
Okay.
And so I started. They were really old, the band, like really old. Like the young, I don't know who the fuck put their instruments in the van afterwards. I don't know how or how they got there. So I just kind of like stunned. And so it was all a little bit off key and quiet, and it was just people staring at them eating pretzels. And we'd had a few steins, so Pete and I pretended we were at a Painters and Dockers gig and just started. And then, kind of got too close to one of the tubes.
That sounds like the demo I know and love. Yeah.
People need to ask any more
one
questions.
One punch.
Which ankle?
Hey.
Which ankle?
Right.
You rolled your ankle. Right ankle.
Do we have, is it, so?
You can ask, you answer individually. You don't have to go with each other. If you think if you think you know.
And how many can be true?
Just
only one.
Well,
in this case, they are all untrue, and they all happened within 36 hours. It was, I went hard.
I think it's the dancing one.
Michelle thinks B,
maybe
hit in the head by a tuba for dancing too close.
I'm very confident it is C, but I will just add, and this is not my answer, but I will say that I believe David has shat himself in public.
You think he's drawing
is
on that experience?
I don't think he did it in Frankfurt. I just think he does it elsewhere. Right. And he's just kind of gone.
I'll just draw your experience.
I'm glad they popped that one. Because I thought you answered it quite authentically.
Well, yeah, I could have.
But I just don't think it happened in Frankfurt.
I could have said 17 different cities. To be honest.
We've all been there.
And nine of them are Perth.
And you have commemorative statues that have been erected for each of those instances.
Yes, I do.
Which is great.
Terry.
Look, I can't go past the fecal burning. It feels like there's a degree of accuracy there that I'm just going to back that.
The correct answer was A. So he has a point there for Terry and 2 points for Damien.
I'm so sorry, Damer.
That's all right.
I love it.
The loneliest part of that story was when I finally got back to the pension, and I don't think Kath realised how bad it was. And this may well have ended our marriage. She walked in and I was just standing in the bathroom just with, and they were like, I had like an entire ensemble of like cheap kind of Bartik-y tie clothes that I bought in Kaysan Road. And there was just a pool in my pants. And
Oh, no. They are the moments that test you in a relationship,
and she,
aren't they?
She helped me out of them and put me in the shower, so good on her.
The other great detail about this story that you didn't bring up is that not only did you do this, you did this with a Sharon football in your hand as well. Just in case anyone we were Australians.
Not a full size, but yeah. Oh, hang on. That bloke shed himself and he's holding a Sharon. Oh, he's clearly from Venezuela.
So at the end of the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Round the scores are Michelle on 2 points, Terry on 3 points, Michael on 4 points, and also on 4 points is Damien Callan. Yeah!
Bringing it back.
This round is called Knowing You, Knowing Me. Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about somebody else on the panel, and you have to determine if it happened to them or if it happened to me. You can ask us as many questions as you want. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, the person the fact may or may not be about, they get the point. So the first one is to Damien. Now, was it Michael or was it myself who had to give a sperm sample at the hospital? The only thing was that when we went in, our mum was insisting that she was going to come in with us. You can ask us as many questions as you want.
So, Josh.
Yes.
Your mum was drunk?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. She just wanted to come in.
Just a hands-on, hands-on type of mum.
All right. Michael, your mum, was that the kind of thing she would normally do? She would go into...
Jewish mothers are very involved in their children's lives.
Yeah, that is entirely true. I've heard. How far into the process did she stay, Josh?
Oh, and when I say come with us, I mean to the hospital.
Oh, not in the room.
Not in the room, no.
She wasn't ready in the corner.
Not that hands-on.
Ready new ideas. Yeah. Are you nearly done, Josh? How are you going over there, champ?
No, I was 19 and I didn't have my licence.
To wank.
No, but I had to go in there and give the sample there.
Yeah.
And she... I was just going to drive, get her to drive me and drop me off and I'd call her when I needed her to come pick me up. But she was like, oh, no, I'll wait. I didn't tell her what I was going in for.
Yeah.
I just said, I have to go.
Just the idea of your mum in the waiting room is enough to go.
Yeah.
Okay. were you able to deliver? Was there any extra pressure having your mum there?
There's definitely a lot of pressure because, you know, when you know your mum's waiting for you to finish, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
That just makes it hard to... You know, bring yourself to that moment. But yeah, I did get it done because I'm a fucking hero.
So. Yeah. Well done, mate. Yeah, just push it out. Yeah. I reckon it's Josh Earl.
You are incorrect. It was Michael Schaefer.
Well done, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Point there for Michael.
You seem quite ambivalent about the whole process. So it's clearly you're just your life. Mum comes to everything.
He's made his peace with it.
Did she know what you were doing? She knew. Yes.
Well, so the story is, this is like 12 months ago. So I got diagnosed with cancer like 12 months ago. And so I had to go do chemo. And before you do chemo, they say go do an IVF, go to the IVF clinic, do a sperm deposit because there's a small chance that chemo can make you infertile. So my mum just wanted to be involved at the time because she's very upset that her son's going through this process. So mum drove me there with my girlfriend. And my girlfriend the whole time was like, what is your mum doing? I was like, oh, we'll just go us two. She's like, my mum was just insisted on being there. And yeah, and then we went there and my girlfriend and mum were waiting for me. In the waiting room for me to get it done.
They're having a book on how long.
What do you think their conversation was while you were?
I've never asked, but I imagine it was like, so how long does he usually take?
Yes.
So you got a point there. Well done.
Fantastic.
Okay, so to Michael, was it Terry or was it me who had a colonic irrigation performed on us only for the person performing it to tell us that they knew who we were? And when we booked the appointment, they showed everyone in the office our YouTube clips before we came in. There's a real theme to this show tonight. I didn't realise this until I'm reading it all out loud.
I know.
I guess to Terry, would you describe the process as akin to fecal burning?
Well,
I'll just ring Pete.
It's very contained. It's very, there's kind of no mess, no fuss. So there's no chance for burning. It's all, there's, you know, receptacles and it's all very ordered. So no, I don't think so.
Okay, Josh, I've never had the pleasure of having this process done. What does it actually entail? Can you just, what is it for?
So you go, what's it for?
Yes.
For me, it was just, I was lethargic and tired and bloated, mm-hmm. and I'd changed up my diet and nothing was working, so I was doing some research and thought, oh, colonic might help. And I spoke to someone else who'd had one before, and I went, all right, I'll do it. So you go in, there's a little bed you lie down on, you got to lie on your side first, they insert the hose, then you roll back over. Then there's a little, it's like about a foot long glass tube that you can just see your stuff float through. But then there's also, in my case, a practitioner talking to me about cakes. And the cake show, and how much he enjoyed the Women's Weekly Cake Show.
So, Terry, what YouTube clips was your person looking at?
Just stuff from early stand-up and some stuff from, I think there was a Spigs and Specs clip. And there was there was a lot of ABC stuff, which was quite strange, but just saying, oh, so this is what you do. You know, people make small talk with you before they do whatever they're going to do. And when I mentioned I'm a stand-up, he went, oh, would I know you? And I said, oh, maybe, because is there any of your stuff online? And they went, and brought it all up.
Were you flattered? Did they enjoy your stuff?
I think he was kind of, his attention was divided between monitoring what had to be monitored in the procedure and sure. watching what was going on. And my stuff is kind of narrative-based stuff, so I don't think you really got into it, to be honest.
Sure. Okay. I think, can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
I think it was Josh.
You are correct. Yes, it was me. Only happened the other week.
This is a true story. I was having a colonoscopy a number of years ago, and it was no general anesthetic. It was just a whick.
Yep.
And on the camera, and I'd been to see this proctologist once, Indian proctologist. He showed no interest in me whatsoever. And then when I came back the second time, all of his staff had told him that I was on TV. And his manner completely changed. He was really friendly. And with the thing, the camera up my ass, he said, Mr. Callanan, just on your part of the television industry. Oh. And proceeded to talk to me. And at the end of it, still with the camera, he said, Mr. Callanan, would you like to stay for lunch? How do you say no to a guy with a camera?
Yeah. But what is it? It's like dentists who talk to you while they've got...
Yeah.
Why the fuck then? Like, you have all the time before and after the actual procedure to have those conversations. Why do they do it right at the business end?
And that's, the lunch understood was that. Just... He just took me into his office and went and heated up his wife's curry that she'd made the night before, and then he got called to another thing, and I just had to sit there with his lunch.
That's so
and
funny.
I didn't eat it. I just went. I just bailed.
Did he invite?
I'm still probably sick. I never went back.
Did he invite you to lunch before the camera went in? Did he?
No,
put
during.
It out?
Oh. During. Yeah.
So it was like, oh, I can see you haven't had lunch yet. Do you want to come and have some lunch?
And why no anaesthetic? Hey? Like, as someone who's had a colonoscopy, I'm curious.
I don't know.
Why no anaesthetic?
This was 1942.
The camera was under the seat. Yeah. Like, came, it was so under the flashing bulb that broke. Like, yeah.
Well, I asked.
I was living in Punjab at the time. But why, what?
I asked when the anaesthetist comes in and says, this is what's going to happen, like before you have your... And he said, and you're fine with the anaesthetic? You're happy for us to give you an anaesthetic? And I was like, yeah. Who says no? Yeah. Like, do people say no? And he goes, yeah. And I asked him to give me an example of someone who had said no. And he said there was a guy, he said, we had a guy who was just very interested in how the procedure would take place, who wanted to be able to view it while it was happening. Because, you know, they've got the screen and the camera. Yeah. And so this guy was so curious about it, he actually watched his own colonoscopy and was apparently fascinated by what was up his
I was
ass.
Not fascinated. I can't remember whether I had a local, just an arse anesthetic, or but it was lit. Yeah, I had one recently. Yeah. It was all good night, no conversation. But yeah.
That guy's that you're talking about, Terry, is definitely putting the arse in narcissist. Yeah. Like that is nice. And you can't. Yeah, nice. You gotta watch it. Okay, so point there for Michael. So to Terry, was it Michelle or me who had rather bad burns that made us stay in hospital? A friend of ours came to visit us. And due to the nature of our skin, they actually fainted at the sight.
Oh, okay. So I'll ask you, Michelle, where on your body?
On my legs.
On your legs?
Yep.
And how did it happen?
I sat too close to the heater. Old wives' tale.
You sat too close to the heater. Okay. Josh.
Yes.
Do you have scars?
No, it was sunburn, mine was. I got second-degree burns from the sun in Tasmania.
Well, I'm going to answer this right now because that's quite clearly not possible.
What are you talking about? There's no ozone down there.
Really? Yeah, I think that is possible. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get like 22 and it's still burning hot. My nipples You're peeled joking. Off. That's when my friend walked in and I was like, look at this. And my nipple's half off.
No.
And then he was like, oh. And then that was it.
No, it's true. Luke McGregor's actually a brunette.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So is there anything, Michelle, that is left on your legs that would show us where this was?
Yes, I have scars.
You have scars?
Yes. On my right, on the back of my right.
All right.
Not thigh. What's this? What's the bottom bit?
For the calf.
The calf.
For the listener, she's wearing stockings.
Near my arm. She's
wearing stockings. I could have a look, couldn't I? If I really
this
really
is a workplace, so please don't ask a fellow colleague to take
I'm
your stockings
I'm happy to show
off.
You my fecal burn scars. they are still... Don't
stop showing us, please.
Yeah, come back up for a while.
And Michael's got his emotional scars from his mum bursting in while he's trying to steal the sample.
It's a very vulnerable show.
A wife's tale actually coming. I'm going to say Michelle. For
this you
one.
Are correct. Yes, it was Michelle.
It was me.
So it's true, that can happen.
Yeah, I sat too close to the heater. I set myself on fire. I screamed, stop, drop, roll at myself. I obeyed myself. It didn't work out.
So you didn't fall asleep. Wow. It was just too close.
No, I was just too close and my clothes were just too flammable and I just went straight up. It was an absolute comedy of error. It was Benny Hill theme, absurdity. And I spent a month and a half in the hospital. I had to learn to walk again.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
fun. Yeah, it's lucky it's cold today. Otherwise, you would see.
Yeah, right.
There.
All right, so you got a point there, Terry. Okay, to Michelle. Was it Damien or was it me who, when we were working in a school, a fellow teacher came to us because they needed help with the TV and they knew that we knew how to work it. When we went into his classroom and pressed play on the machine, a porno came on.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Snow White.
Damo, were the kids in the... kids were still in the room?
Yeah, they were... They were just kind of coming in. You know, they're in that kind of like they're not really focused.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of putting their bags and stuff. So there was not a lot of attention directed towards the TV, thankfully.
Okay, Josh, how did you find out that – what was the result of this? How had the porn got there?
So
VHS, I assume.
No, it was DVD.
DVD,
I was working in school. So the teacher walked out of the classroom to come and get me. I was in the library. And then when I went in, one of the kids had put the porno when he moved out. And so when he went out of the room, the porno was placed in there. And so when I was leaving the room, when he pressed play and this scene came up and he was like, oh! And almost you could tell in his face blaming me initially that I had done it, even though I just put the right plugs in. He quickly turned it off and the kids were laughing so much because they knew it was going to happen. And so that's how it happened.
Okay. Damo, how old were the kids? What year? What grade?
I was in grade 6 and so it was VHS. In my case, not DVD. DVD.
DVD.
And they were like grade 2, much younger kids. So that's why they just weren't really paying attention. He taped behind the news over stuff I hadn't realised what he'd taped it over. So it was just kind of like that, you know, that few seconds and then a bit of grey noise and then behind the news kicked in.
Really behind.
Really. just massively chock-a-block behind.
Behind, the news. In front.
Just.
And they're on top all over the news.
Yeah. D-E-D, is that double-ended
dealer? Yeah.
Okay, all right. I think... So, Josh, you were working as a teacher.
I was working as a library assistant.
Okay. Damo, you were
working... I was just a senior kid at school.
You're a senior student.
Yeah.
I think it happened to Josh...
You gonna say me?
Yes.
You are correct. Yes, it did happen to me.
It happened to me too.
Did it really?
No.
It?
I was. I couldn't believe it. I don't remember telling you that story. No.
Yeah, it was one of the funniest days, but also I realised how serious the story was as soon as it happened because the teacher was freaking out, going, "I could lose my job if a kid goes home and says, oh, Mister, I won't say his name, showed a porno in class today." And like,
oh my
yeah,
goodness.
But it was. One of those classic things when we went back to the staff room and told the few teachers we trusted, this is what happened. Oh, that is a great story.
That is okay. So funny.
You have to, hats off to the kids who went, oh, we'll unplug the cables. Yeah. So he leaves the room and then when we come back in, because you're 11, 12 kids.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Were they carrying a DVD of porn around them?
No, it was Blu-ray.
One of them had it in his bag. Like, I don't
just
know.
Ready to go.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't trust his mum to not go through his room, so he carried sure. it with him.
Didn't I brought my porn DVDs yeah. tonight. Yeah. I didn't imagine believe them at home. My dog will eat them.
Imagine being so insecure about yourself, you have to carry your porn with you.
Right, at the end of that round, the scores are Damien on 4 points, Michelle on 3 points, Terry on 4 points. In the lead now on 6 points, it's Michael Schaefer.
Your porn in your bag.
Still anyone's game. All right. This round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions all about everyone on the panel. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. You get a point if you get it right. You get a point off if you get it wrong. It's the only round you can lose points.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's exciting. First question. Whose nickname in primary school was NF? Whose nickname was NF?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Michelle.
Yeah, no, it was Terry. Point off Michael there.
Jeez, you really have. Yeah.
I forgot, yeah.
NF stood for no friends, which was so fucking harsh. Absolutely so harsh. But it was only for half of primary school. Could have been worse.
Then
could've
you got a friend.
Could have been the lot.
Then one friend.
OF. Very harsh.
They used to call me just like nine friends. Like very specific bullying.
So the same nickname, NF. Yeah. Great, yes.
Assholes.
Question two. Whose family had a Mother's Day lunch in a Hungarian takeaway shop because their father thought when he booked it, it was a restaurant, not just takeaway?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Michael.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Damien. Yes. So you want to tell this amazing Mother's Day lunch?
It's great. Well, it was a dinner. Awesome. And so Mum wanted to go have a very nice, you know, Mother's Day dinner with the whole family. So Dad calls up this place. He hasn't been there before, but they've got good reviews online. He calls them up. They're like, yeah, we can squeeze you in. So we turn up. It's not a restaurant. It's like just a little takeaway shop with, like, you know, the food's in the bain-maries and whatever. And we're... You're just meant to go, yeah, I'll have a bucket of that and leave, right? And we walk in and we're like, oh, we'll just go. But then we noticed that there was one table set up for five people. So aww. They had gone and gotten a table for our reservation.
That's cute.
And there was
sit there eating it while people come in. Just I'll have that and just walk.
And there was like, and they got like a tablecloth as well, and they had like a fake rose in the middle. The detail they went, it was like beautiful.
Out so, the back, their kids are doing their homework standing up.
You've got a good Hungarian accent, haven't you?
Well, Hungarian flag bearer. We established this last time you were on.
Yeah. I was the Hungarian flag bearer at the 1988 Moomba Parade.
Why?
What?
Why?
A mate of mine said, oh, do you want to be in the Moomba Parade? And I'm like, yeah, of course I do. What are we going to do? And he said, oh, we're going out to the Hungarian community in Baronia They're going to teach us to dance. But we arrived late. And so me and him and his partner, like, they said, oh, we've already taught half the dance. And I was really keen. I wanted to do the dance. And they're like, no, we can do it. What else can we do? And they went, oh, we need a flag bearer. And so I get to carry the Hungarian flag. And they were carrying, I don't know, like flags, other flags with lines and shit on them. But I was the front guy.
Did you puff your chest out and really sell it?
I was pretty happy with the outfit. We wore like kind of like black Zorro hats. White pirate shirts with little bolero jackets over the top. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Why didn't you wear that right now?
Yeah, I had to give it back.
I like Hungarian. The lederhosen you've got on now, though. That's
Thank
a good
you.
Touch.
Yeah. It just helps. It just gives a bit more space for the...
Especially with the Frankfurt story. It was good. Next question. Who at age 3 climbed out of a hotel balcony on the second floor into the next room?
Michael.
Yes, Michael.
Terry.
No, that was Damien as well.
I just thought Terry'd be looking for friends.
Always on the hunt. Always on the hunt.
So this was... Your sister was in the other room though, wasn't she?
Yeah, I'm one of 5 kids and we're on a big family holiday. So generally it'd be mum and dad and my sister who's closer to me in age and the older ones, as they were called, in the other room. And I kept annoying them and turning up in their room. So they shut the door so that I couldn't walk out in the corridor and come in. Didn't have connecting doors. And then I kind of appeared again. And I just climbed through the balcony and there was like a 3-story drop.
Oh, my
just
goodness.
Just climbed across, but yeah, whatever.
Michael Jackson hanging you off that balcony at any point, did you?
Nah, just on my own.
That's amazing.
Next question. Who here got drunk with the Harlem Globetrotters? Drunk with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Haven't we all?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Terry Siarkis.
No, it was Michelle. Michelle.
Wow. When was that?
It was in Adelaide.
Of course.
I was on tour for this like musical. We were drinking staffies with the bar staff because one of the band members had gotten into a fight for a whiskey that the bartender had taken when he hadn't finished it. He took his whiskey and then the bartender finished the expensive whiskey. We saw him drink it because he thought that Glenn was too drunk or whatever. Anyway, so there was a big fight. Turned into we were best mates. We're all best friends. We're staying here. The bar is closed, but there's some guests coming. And it's the Harlem Globetrotters.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were the Washington Generals there as well? The team they play and lose to every single game?
Unfortunately, no.
The Generals couldn't get in. They were denied entry.
Denied entry.
I saw the Washington... No, I saw both of them when I was about 7 years old in Burnie. They travelled to Burnie.
Oh.
And I was... It was packed and I was... What every show, they will pull one kid out of the audience and make him shoot 3, like, foul shots and they give him a uniform and they... Yeah, great. And I was one kid away. They were giving high fives and pulled this kid next to me. And this kid was fucking hopeless. Could not get a shot.
You would have smashed it.
And every time. I knew how to I used to play basketball, so I knew how to get it in. I thought, this could have been fucking my dream. I could have been the kid traveling around the Harlem Globetrotters.
Did you go back to Weller's for a drink at the hotel with them?
You've been there too many times. Weller's, yes. Okay, question 5. Who here got out of a hefty library fine because of a show they were on?
We're not allowed to say you?
No, I'm not. Okay. I don't get library fines. What are you talking about?
Michelle?
So yes, Michelle.
Was it Damo?
No, it was Terry. It was Michelle.
Me.
Yeah.
It was me. It was not that long ago, actually. And it was for a show that was a long time ago. So 13 years ago, a radio show that I did with Ross Noble. And I was at the library and I went, I've got this fine, but my kids want to borrow this thing. And the guy puts my name into the computer and then looks at me and then looks back at the computer. He goes, I don't think we need to worry about this fine today. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And I had this look of confusion on my face. He goes, I really enjoyed listening to you on the radio all those years ago. It gave me such pleasure. You don't have to pay your fine. I'm like, fuck, that was such a long time ago.
That's great.
But it was so lovely to think that all that time.
Wait, so you got recognised there and at your colonic irrigation.
Yeah,
that
I know. All there, 20 places.
No friends in primary school, but at medium the places.
Because yeah. Because on the show, you and Ross had the travelling pants, the travelling trousers?
We did. Yeah, that was the second year.
The second year, because that came, I was at a gig and someone heckled the gig and said, can you sign these pants during the gig? And I was like, can you wait until after I'll sign? But fucking, I'm only a year into comedy. I can't handle
heckled by pants. It's not a heckle you'd normally
get.
No,
there's no comeback for that. There's absolutely no comeback for that. They were good times. It was, we basically did a podcast on radio.
Yeah, it was great.
Essentially what it was. There was
you hardly played any songs. It was great.
No, our record was 2 songs in an hour.
That's so good.
That was, that was
I cannot imagine anyone Triple J trying to pull that shit now. No, not playing.
Could not. No, their heads would roll.
June Rats got to have played. Okay, question 6. Who here once heckled some cowboys at the rodeo with a cardboard horse?
Terry.
Yes, Terry.
Damo?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, of course.
Yes. It was actually a cowboy cardboard head on one of those pallet lifters. we're riding them around outside.
Brilliant.
Question 7. Whose parents are convinced that they would shit their pants on purpose as a toddler just so they could get the attention?
Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Michelle.
No, it was Terry.
Damn. It was me, and I did do it.
So much shit in the show.
I know. Yeah.
You edited this down. You took the shit out of it.
Like a record.
There are some people listening to the show.
It'd be like a crime podcast with no Catholics in it.
There was method to my madness. My sister had recently been born, and there was far too much attention being paid to her. And what's a good way to get your parents' attention?
Yeah.
Shit yourself.
It worked.
Yeah, it really worked. I was 13 when she
was. Next question. Who here once followed Louis C.K. and Chris Rock around the streets of New York for 5 blocks?
Michelle.
Yes, Michelle.
I think it was Michael.
You are correct. Yes, it was Michael. Yes.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, when was this?
But at the time, it sounded
like
a good idea.
You're working as a private investigator. You were going to see.
On a cardboard horse.
Yeah, we'll see what Louis's up to. But yeah, did you catch up with them?
So me and a friend of mine spotted them, like, because they were around. They'd obviously just done the Comedy Cellar, and so we saw them leaving. So we followed them for 5 blocks, and then from the other side of the road. So we thought, they won't be suspicious of us if we're following them from the other side of the road. And then eventually we crossed the road and was like, and went up to Louis and said, oh, hey, I'm a big fan. Can I get a photo? And he said, no. And
just like that.
And he just said, no. He says, no, I don't feel like it. And then you shook my hand and he left.
Because of that story, I've totally changed my mind on Louis C.K. I don't like him anymore. Next question. Who here used to get drunk before their retail job during Christmas time as it was the only way they could put up with the constant Mariah Carey playing on loop in the store?
Damo.
Yes, Damien.
Michelle.
No, that was Terry Siarkis.
No, that was me. I worked in a very big department store and I always used to work the 24-hour trade, and it was the only, they do that trade before Christmas Eve. It was the only way to get through it. I actually had to be counselled one year because I was pissed, essentially, and not because I was pissed at work, but because I was pissed, I rang reception and said, can you stop playing that fucking Mariah Carey? I got counselled for how I spoke to another. But it was like, I can't handle this anymore, and I'm pissed.
And she'd rung Mariah Carey.
One year I actually fell asleep standing up with my face in, you know how they do the wall of towels in the Manchester department? Yeah. I just kind of rested my chin on it just to have a little rest at about 3 o'clock, and I fell asleep standing up. It was brilliant.
Oh, retail.
So good.
What a treat.
Have you worked in retail?
Oh, I've worked in retail, baby.
You say baby,
I've done my time.
And our last question for the game. Who here never ate a hamburger until they were 18 years old?
Terry.
Yes, Terry.
Michelle?
You are correct. Yes, a point there for
How did
Terry.
That happen?
I'd never had a burger. I'd never had pizza. I'd never had pasta. I was really picky eater. Really, really picky. Right.
And
so
now
wasn't
your parents saying, don't eat this stuff?
I thought it was because your parents were vegetarians or some of that and you just didn't.
No.
Wow.
I hadn't had any of the foods. I'd had fish, veggies, fruit, and nuggets. So the main food group, and Milo as well. And now, like, I would consider myself, like, I would spend hundreds of dollars on a good restaurant kind of food place. But I still have never, I've never had a burger from like McDonald's or anything like that. I don't eat meat, but I haven't had like even, I've had the grilled burgers and stuff, but I don't know what a McBoy is.
Boy.
But I know what a McNugget is. Oh, hell do I know.
Okay, at the end of the game, the scores are Damien Cullen on 3 points.
Yes.
Michael Schaefer on 3 points. Michelle Brazier on 3 points. And on 6 points is Terry Siarkis.
Where did that come from?
Behind.
Oh,
last round.
Work,
Dark horse.
Because you enter, you get to plug whatever you want to plug. So your podcast, Parental
My
Guidance.
Podcast, yes, Parental Guidance Recommended. It's an ABC podcast, which you can find on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How many apps are out so far?
Third episode dropped today. So, yeah, there's three episodes out and there's 10 in the series. So it's well worth a listen.
First guest was your old radio partner,
yes,
Ross Noble.
Yes, it was Ross Noble. We've had Ita Buttrose. He talked about being thrown up on by her children.
Ita Buttrose.
She was phenomenal. I have never been – I don't really get starstruck. Like, yep. I just kind of go, yeah, we're all humans. That's fine. I don't have a problem. But with her, it was like meeting the Queen. I just felt like I had to be on my best behaviour and I was a little bit nervous. But she was great. She was fantastic.
Awesome. Michelle, any shows coming up that you want to plug?
I've got some Double Denim shows, my duo with Laura Free. I think if you're in Perth, you can buy a ticket to that, or Adelaide, maybe you can buy a ticket.
Sweet.
Yeah, that'll be coming your way.
Do that.
Yeah.
Michael.
I got a show in Sydney on the 24th of November, so come along to that if you can. It's at the Factory Theatre.
What's it called?
Just my name.
Just Michael Schaefer.
I didn't think of a name for the show. I'll just be talking for an hour.
Great. And Damien Callanan.
I'm doing a swan song of Swing Man, my swing dancing concert on 25th of November at Melbourne Spiegeltent. But more importantly, I've just released a book, actually. It's like a coffee table book of maps of the great cities of Europe, just with a shit smear.
Also, is the merger still on?
The merger is still rolling along, yeah.
On Qantas flights and Virgin
Qantas
flights?
Virgin. Yeah, we're still in some cinemas and more cinemas to come. If you go to the merger film. com and click on tickets, you'll find out where it's showing.
It's very good.
And thank you.
Two people in the room are in the film, yep. So Michelle's also in it. I watched on a flight, and I was amazed, and he's a friend of mine, but how good Nick Cody is as an actor.
Really good.
He's really good in it.
Yeah. Yeah, he gives a lot.
Mm. So there
he's
you go.
Very good. So he's praised.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Great. Yeah, I won't give it away. Also, if you're listening to this and you're in Melbourne on the 15th of December, I'm doing the Christmas show with all the money raised going to the Indigenous Literacy Foundation. So go to joshearl.com.au/gigs. $25. Great lineup. And hopefully I'll see you there. Anyway, thanks for playing. Till next time. Bye.
G'day, mate.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.